Good afternoon, Peter, and I'm sorry I never get to wish you a happy Christmas and a happy new year.
Okay. Thank you very much, Winnie. It's good to hear you, man. Long time.
Well, I don't want to be keep coming the year. I promise not to, but there's three things that really bothering me, Peter, and the first going to be the last. Now, I heard James Paul talking about monkeys and, you know, the farming community. I would like to ask Mr. Paul, what did they put in place for the farming community and the monkeys? Because you know I complain about the monkeys, and I can't plant nothing out there. I've got friends that cannot even put down the seasoning. The monkey pull up everything and eat them. So what are we going to do with the monkeys and the two-foot monkeys? What are we going to do with them?
You mean the thieves?
Well, I don't want to. I said two-foot monkey and the monkeys. You know what I mean?
Man, no, but you can't say that. You can't. Look, when you call it people that thiefing monkeys, you gotta be real careful, eh? Because you realize a lot of people that thiefing are black people too.
So. Well, anyway, all I can say, when I used
you're pretty larcenous.
When I used to sell lettuce to three supermarkets, one of them sent someone to say, "Oh, let's see if you have." I did complain about you losing some soursop, and he comes and he see where I grow my lettuce. We should have that happen before you can sell to anywhere. You should prove that you are the one that grow these things. I have a friend, and Prince and Bridget, you know, their last crop. They lost crop to the monkeys and the two-foot monkeys, right?
How are you going to prove that, Winnie?
Because when they go in the ground, nothing was there, and the monkeys, the real monkeys now, destroy every melon. They destroy every melon. And plus, she did lost about $4,000 in O's, you know, the one that to sprinkle the ground. They never get back no help for that. You know, and, you know, there's things going on, and they're talking about, now I'm going to jump to the next one, growing marijuana. Is the black man, I'm not saying we are not capable, are they going to have enough money to do the fencing, the security guard, and to grow the marijuana? And who are they going to sell it to? Because there's a professor in Jamaica. I forget his name. He developed the medical marijuana to help you, but they didn't want to buy the right from him, and he refused to sell them for $50 million, right? And he said no, and now he cannot get now we are selling to Canada, right? Because it's hard to sell to the outside world when you are black. Because they don't recognize us, but they can come in our country and grow the things and get it to sell in the country that they want. So when you're going to say give a black man the license to grow and sell, who are they going to sell it to? Who are they going to which country going to buy it from them? Jamaica not going to buy it from here, and in Barbados not going to buy it from Jamaica. We're not going to buy it from Guyana, and Guyana buying it from us, because we are too small. We should get together
So how you see the thing working, Winnie? How you feel it? How you see it working?
I see that we all Caribbean just cannot grow marijuana, because Jamaica got 10 or 12 different type of marijuana ganja to grow. We've got one that is as you know, your middle finger that go as tall as that.
But Winnie, you can there's no export market for ganja in the Caribbean. Well, there is, but not a legal one.
That's what I'm saying. But that's how you're going to grow. Who are they going to sell it to? The black man wants to grow and sell. Where is he going to sell it?
There are people in St. Vincent today that make a decent living exporting ganja to Barbados.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that
come off it. Everybody know about that. But you see them in court every once in a while. And if you know that the one that get in court is two or three more that get in.
Listen to me. The other day, a plane landed in Jamaica, yeah? And the plane have no seat, nothing. And when the village went, you know, where the plane land, you know, because we have small little strips and, you know. And when they get there, no pilot, no goods, nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm. And we just know ganja?
It got to be ganja and gun. Right?
So, Adio, you got to finish up the point, though, because we ran out of time. So you finish your point.
1 minute. Now, the next thing what really have me mad is that video going around. Now, Peter, be fair. If that video was of a black man or a black lady calling the name of that color person and using a cell phone, what do you think the police would do? Come on, be fair for one.
But we gonna wait and see. Now, the police might very well hold him for apparently he ain't going to seatbelt neither, so... We had to wait to see whether he will be charged, because it's possible that he'll be charged for driving with a cell phone and for not wearing a seatbelt.
And for using that word. It's wrong.
But you can't charge you for using that word, because that is freedom of speech. Okay, you got a right to use the word.
I can call them snowflakes then and get away with it.
I know what's a snowflake. I never heard about snowflake.
You never heard of snowflake yet? Oh, sorry.
I don't think, though, that there needs to be a... Yeah, I don't think that there needs to be a competition in terms of name calling, all right? Anyhow, we're going to have to take a break here. It's time to break for the latest. We will be back with you in a few minutes. Do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. You can call us on 434-1790. Remember, we are with you until 2. We have just over 1 hour to conversate about the things that are out here. By a lot of conversating today about this video that has been going around. We also have been conversating a lot about ganja, which is an interesting conversation for me at all times. Those are two of the key issues that we've been touching on today. And remember, you can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or you can call us on 434-1790, or of course, you can use the chat 266-IVOB. Good afternoon. I have a big problem here. Two big trucks and a bobcat came to Licorice Village clearing all stuff in the process. Two type pipes were burst, and we only see this now. And the men are gone, and we are not having water. Water is coming out of the pipes at a fairly fast rate. We're calling the waterworks and not getting through. So I guess this is a call that is intended to go to the Barbados Water Authority. Sadly, if you're calling the waterworks in the pine, nobody's going to answer, because the waterworks has stopped being the waterworks in the pine for quite some time to come. But I do hope that you get some level of response in that regard. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. I have a friend telling me that I should not fall into the bad habits of Americans. The word is converse.
No, man. But
I would say to you, ma'am, the word is conversate. That is a Bajanism. That is not an Americanism. Americans convert. I don't know what Americans do, but we conversate. Yes, sir. Go right ahead,
please. I know very well you got plans of living in France, so that's why I say it's good to have you home, man. Good to got you home. You got plans of living in France, man. I've heard you get a call today, and you even mentioned about France when you said that the sidewalks, when you was talking to that gentleman, and you said even in the sidewalks in France, man, you can't get France.
Joy reference.
Sometimes speed in France. Sorry,
I am not home. I'm in France, no.
I hear you, man. All right, listen, Mr. Wickham.
There's not by choice. I want y'all open back the borders so I can come home.
Man, you can't hold on, man. You can't hold on. You can't hold on. You know you love down there. All right, listen, Mr. Wickham, three things I want to talk about here. Mr. Wickham, I want you to be fair and square. Do you really think that the closure of the small shops was the greatest idea of all?
I think we talked about that last time you were on the radio.
No. Me and you didn't discuss this.
You didn't discuss it.
No.
So I had reservations. I thought I told you, but it was someone else I was speaking to about last Thursday. I had reservations about it. I spoke to, on the air, Minister Simmons called, and Minister Simmons said that they were happier making arrangements to provide for food for people who would use those small shops than for leaving the small shops open. And he explained to me And he explained to everyone, basically, that the UK variant is essentially what made the difference, that they felt that the confines of most of those shops would not have allowed for a protection from the UK variant in the situation that it was. And a decision was taken to close them and to provide food for people. And I think that that's reasonable.
Mr. Wickham, foolishness. Look, Mr. Wickham, some of these shops, let me be fair and square. Some of these shops, because I've been into a lot of them, I go into a lot of them, I try to support these small shops. Listen to me, some of them capable of holding 3 customers at a distance of 3 feet away from each other. Why couldn't the leaders, the big bosses, the top bosses of this country had said, well, listen, we're going to open these small shops to help allocate some of the weight. Because you're saying you're trying to get rid, you don't want the crowd, this crowd thing, you're trying to avoid this crowd thing so the spread of corona. And yet, you're backfiring on it. Why can't you understand? And these same shops that you closed down, some of them, most of them, I can give my mouth the liberty to say most of them capable of holding 3 people at a distance of 3 feet apart. What's wrong with, even if the authorities have said, okay, 2 people, 2 persons, they didn't go up behind, but at least 2 persons. But I know they can hold 3. I know most of them.
But sir, you heard what he said, right? Sir, when I was on the program before, I personally have reservations about closing supermarkets, period. I feel supermarkets should remain open 24 hours.
What is good for the goose is good for the gander.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. But sir, listen to me now. And I said that I also shared your concerns about closing the small shops because I believe the small shops were a lifeline. I told you, the minister called and I put your position to the minister and I said to him, but is it not a reasonable thing that we could say to these small shops, take the necessary precautions because there are people who rely on the small shops to do the day-to-day shopping. The minister said in response that the advice that they have received from the health authorities suggests that it would be dangerous to leave the small shops open. Now, my thing is that if it is that you have a public health authority who has studied this thing and they're saying that the UK variant is so infectious that it can create those problems, close the small shops. Because what they have done is they have basically said that the people who rely on the small shops will get food parcels that will be able to keep them through.
I am not a
public health official, but I was expressing the concerns that you expressed because I know how people's survival is work. I understand how it works for most people, for some people. And that's why I was expressing.
And always bear in mind, Mr. Wickham, always bear in mind they got something called an election, you see.
This ain't about no election. This is about survival here. This is not about winning an election. This is about getting Barbados back to the stage where we're COVID-free.
No, I mean, that's what this is about. An upcoming election, another election.
Right, you left out that. This is election talk to me. This is not motivated by any election talk. This is about someone who understands how infectious diseases work, saying, if you want to get back to a situation where you're COVID-free, these are the things that you have to do.
Okay? Mr. Macon, all right, let me move on my next point. Well, because I totally disagree with that. Some of these shops can hold 3 persons at 3 feet. So I can stand by my guns. My next point.
What you do when you go to these shops, though? What you do to when you go to these shops? Just go and buy food, or you just go and drink?
Listen, I'm not interested in the rub. Me and my sister went to one there last shutdown. We went to one in Eden Lodge. Very spacious and nice. That was so vocal about this thing. We're shoving them. And let me tell you, 3 and 4 people were in there, comfortable with at a 3 feet distance. Comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these people come and just think the nose it all. And you
I'm just saying to you that if I have a strong feeling about something and I had the opportunity to express that feeling to the minister and I said to him, look, this is it, this is survival. He said to me, we're going to put food parcels. We're going to give the people who are closing the businesses some compensation. We're going to give food parcels because we have been advised that these shops are a problem. My thing is that these are people who are supposed to study this thing and understand. So if you're telling me this, what I got to do to get better, then, you know, take the medicine.
All right, my second.
You know, it's like cod liver oil. I don't know. You enjoy taking cod liver oil?
No, I don't take it. I take, there's other things. There's other steps you could take. There's other
like
steps.
Like what?
You
the capsules?
So these people could take other steps with the, dealing with the small shop people too. But let me move to my second point. My second point.
All right, okay.
I'm right. My second point, Mr. Vickham, the testing. The testing. I only asking. I subject for correction. I'm willing to listen to this one. I really put an argument to this one. Now, can we have a system with the pharmacies here where instead of people coming to your home and I want to test you for the COVID, can they allow the pharmacies to sell us, you know, like a self-serving device where people can stay, go to the pharmacy, buy this kit, and test their own self. You know, some people like their own personal business. Some people like
home
their
testing.
Personal confidential, right, yes. Can that be possible?
I've seen those being advertised in the American market, the home testing kits.
Yes, I saw it.
But I don't know that they're available here, so we use what we have, you know.
Yeah. Because there's some people who would want to fuss up and fight up when these people come at your houses. Whereas then you will get that same person will feel more comfortable going to the pharmacy and buying a kit to test his own self for the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
More comfortable, you know. Right,
mm-hmm.
But all right, let me left that one there and see if there's an open gate for that one. My third one, mm-hmm. Mr. I know this can be a can of worms here. Now I know I can get a lot of lashes. I might even get some for you now. Mr. Mark Williams, can I put this plea to the Prime Minister? Can I would like to see Mark got a lot of knowledge. Don't let me look at age here now. Let me look at what the man has to offer. Mark got a lot of knowledge. And I would like to see if the Prime Minister can do something. I'm not allocating what it could be. I'm not saying what it could be, not dictating what it should be. But I would like to see Mark in the domain. Miss Prime Minister, Miss Mia Motley, find something for Mark to do. You can't let this type of intelligence just sit there. You know what I mean? Mark, and I'll go on to say this and say it before any fight. A lot of active politicians don't have half the knowledge Mark has. A lot of active politicians of today on both parties, I'm biased, on both sides, don't have half the knowledge Mark has. So they need to do something.
So you know that Mark was a member of parliament?
I know that.
Right, so my thing is that Mark...
The last time I saw Mark was at a meeting. I'll never forget. Right on Wavell Avenue by the bakery. It was him, Mia Motley, and the great Mr. Owen Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the car park by the bakery. Mm-hmm. The Health Bakery on Wavell Avenue. Because you can't let this type of information, this type of knowledge just sit there and, man, find something to do, man, even if you put you as a consultant to work with young people that doing crime and, you know, try to guide them the right way. Something, I don't know. I will go sit down and study with it, but these heads are bigger than my head, so they can figure out something for Mark to do. It is devastating to see a man with so much knowledge just sitting there.
Well, sir, I don't know that. I mean, as I said, I think that Mark is he's a known quantity to the political directorate, and I believe that, you know, he may very well be assisting in ways that you're not aware of already, you know?
Man, well, I ain't aware of any, Mr. Vickham, I ain't aware of any. I want to be aware of something. I want to see him
right.
In the domain rather than in the dark. It's too much intelligence.
Okay.
Too much.
Alrighty. All right, sir. Well, thank you so much for calling, and I hope that Mark is listening and that whoever else is listening and can give Mark the forward that you're suggesting that he be given. I personally have a lot of time for him. I think that is well known. So, you know, I guess I can say one of his distant nephews. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. And you? And you?
Man, I'm good. I'm,
right, okay.
I'm blessed.
Okay, all right. You look after yourself, you know?
Yeah.
We're all here. No, right now,
yeah, I realize. Yeah, pick any voice.
Yeah. Person that has been inundating me with calls. I've spoken on this monkey business and stopped the monkeying around with the monkey. Stop monkeying around, no pun. But this, if it's COVID and you're asking persons now they are on 2 weeks ease, et cetera. And prior to that, they would have been asked to fork up around the place, try to plant something. And there's the invasion and the devastation of these monkeys. And people at the wits end, James Paul came out and spoke about it. The ministry is asked to do something about it. All on sundry, it's the plague with the problem with the monkey. They now got COVID and were killed over 2 million people. Monkeys ain't no value to nobody. They ain't no soul. What was the problem? I can't kill off these monkeys. This is the kind of concern I will have. I have been on the air already. I have said I would put a verse between the monkeys. I would put 2,000 or 3,000 with a verse and then this spends them through the whole monkey population in a year time it kill everyone. Somebody call and cuss me. But I mean people at the risk and people you hear the woman say she plant the corn and to get tell them everyone to pull up this to do that. What is the use? What purpose? What is the benefit of having the monkey around us as we speak? What's the benefit? What are they doing in the country? What financial benefit? What kind of
sir, how exactly do you design a virus that will take out monkeys and not anyone else?
I am not scientifically oriented to that extent. I know there's a virus that kill millions of people in the world. Oh.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say? I identify
with this philosophy that says that almost every creature on the earth has a relevance. And I think that there's obviously a relevance to monkeys. The challenge is that we have to learn to live with them. Clearly, we have a monkey population that's out of control. And the question is, how is it dealt with? We did a program some months ago with the inspector from the RSPCA, in which we talked about mechanisms that could be used to deal with the monkey population. And he gave some fairly solid ideas on what we could do to, dart monkeys to reduce the population and do and to reduce them sensibly. There are other people that have suggested that part of the reason that the monkeys are a problem is because their natural habitat, which is the gullies, have nothing for them to eat. There's no fruit trees there. So they leave the gullies and they come in search of food. To me, the idea of saying it's as simple as just planting a virus and killing off the monkey population is something, it's an oversimplification. And I don't know that this is in the direction we want to go.
A gentleman gave his name on another program that he has a license. He go and shoot monkeys, whatever. People would hire his services. I could imagine on the double. Because, I mean, it is real serious in every nook and cranny you go is about monkey. People send me pictures. Look at this monkey up on my van, scratching at my van and pulling down my things. How have you turned is a call about monkeys? And it is high time now that the ministry come up with some sort of solution and solace to the people that complain about this monkey, monkeying around with monkey. It is high time now. I mean, we're more clarity call the Kelly Mayor. I regard you.
Fair enough. All right, thank you very much for calling. This is Dr. Brastax, 43-41-790. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Greetings to you and to all our guests.
Good evening. Good greetings as well.
On Sunday, the Prime Minister has asked for the nation to pray. But she make it abundantly clear, she's not only asking church people or religious people to pray, but everybody. What the Prime Minister has said is actually written in the Bible. That request. And not only that request, that's that facilitation. Because the Bible says that Psalm 65, verse 2, or hear of prayer to you, all sorts of people will come. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, if you believe or if you don't believe. You are welcome to prayer. The challenges, though, Mr. Wickham, is what we're going to be asking for, if you will get it. Now, at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says there, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that no matter what we ask according to his will, he hears us. But it's a condition there. You see, we can ask for anything, but it's according to his will. So don't go praying and asking, you know, for lotto numbers, because it ain't gonna happen. But what we can pray for? We can pray for God Almighty to give the government the courage, the strength to help us with this pandemic. Or we could pray for understanding and knowledge or wisdom to help us to understand his word. Or we could pray concerning our habits that might be detrimental to our health, etc. So, as the Prime Minister is saying also, but she says, Sunday, I will say, we can start today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, prayer. God, the hear of prayer, welcome all sorts of people. In conclusion, he's a just God. The symbol of justice is exemplified by a statue of a woman with a pair of scales in her hand and blindfolded. The blindfold symbolizes non-partiality, where you cannot see when you are making out justice. So it's to be fair and upright. So Jehovah is like that. So here of prayer, all sorts of people will come. So everybody out there, you are all welcome, regardless of who you are, what you do. You don't believe, you believe or not. Hear your prayer. It is important. Thank you, Mr. Wickham. Have a good day, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. I seem to have aggravated many people by the reference to the word conversate and suggesting that we will conversate for another hour. And I think that you guys know that I love nothing more than to stimulate a little disturbance on the radio. So for those of you who think it is inappropriate for me to conversate, we shall continue conversating for a few more minutes. Dennis Johnson?
Yeah, Peter, sorry, I have to bring I wish I didn't have to chuckle at what you just said because of what I'm going to say now, but interrupt you for a breaking story that's just been sent to me by the head of news. And sadly, we must report that Barbados has recorded another COVID-19 death. In the early hours of this morning, February 4th, the deceased claimed the life of a 93-year-old Barbadian lady, and with her passing, the number of COVID-19-related deaths in Barbados now stands at 16. At the time of her passing, the senior citizen had been a patient at the Harrison Point Secondary Isolation Ward for 11 days, having been admitted there on January 24th. As with the majority of persons who have died from COVID-19 in Barbados, chronic non-communicable diseases, hypertension, diabetes, were part of the lady's medical history. The Minister of Health and Wellness, Lieutenant Colonel the Honourable Geoffrey Bostick, offered his deepest condolences to the grieving family. The Minister also reminded Barbadians that something as simple as a persistent dry cough could be a symptom of COVID-19. And persons must not take flu-like or unusual symptoms for granted, but seek medical help early. This applies in particular to those we know to be in the high-risk groups, such as the elderly, those who have diabetes, hypertension, or other chronic non-communicable diseases. So I just wanted to share that with the public, sent to me by the head of news, Stetson Babb. And of course, we join in sending our condolences to the family and friends of the bereaved. It's yours, Peter.
Okay.